for after the message. We kind of put the message three quarters of the way through, so we're not all the way done with the singing or even the favorites. But 2 Peter chapter number 2 this morning, we looked in Psalms chapter number 11. We asked this question, what can the righteous do? And the verse for Psalms 11:3 is, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And we gave a thought of what our foundation should be on is our solid rock. Jesus Christ is our foundation. And how that's never going to never be destroyed, never crumble. But things that we trust in, things that we hold dear to, sometimes they crumble. Sometimes they fade away. But we have a God that's sitting on the throne, no matter what time period it is, no matter what's going on in our life. We asked that question, what can the righteous do? We talked about trusting in the Lord. We talked about living right. We also talked about praying. Last thought here is being a light, being a light. The Bible says in Philippians 2:15, I know we're going through the book of Philippians on Wednesday night, so we're going to get to this sooner or later, but I really enjoy this verse, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So it's in the midst of that crooked and perverse nation. So many times I know we have to live in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. And we can live right in the midst, but when we're living in the midst of it, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to shine as lights in the world. 1 Peter 2:9 puts it this way, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Same thing. Shine as a light in the world that we live in. And there's two Bible characters I mentioned this morning. I don't know if any of you got the thought that was there. Two Bible characters that was been brought together in two different passages of Scripture. First is in 2 Peter chapter number 2. You see in verse number 4, actually verse number 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, the preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them as an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. We're going to look at a couple more verses, but those are the two Bible characters that's mentioned here. Two Bible characters also mentioned in Luke 17. So what does that have to do with anything? Well, you think about it. There's been a few times in this world that God looked at a certain group of people. First with Noah was the whole entire world. Noah preached the gospel, or at least preached salvation of getting in the ark. And during that time, he stood out as a light in that generation. Now, there was another time in the world that God looked upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said, those cities need to be destroyed. And there was also a believer living in that in those cities whose name was Lot. And in the story of Noah, you'll see here that Noah was someone who shined as a light, who was a preacher of righteousness, and for over 100 years preached the truth. But over here you have Lot, who both of them are living in very, very wicked times. Both of them are living in a spot where God looked at where they were living at and said, the world has gotten so bad and so wrong and so wicked, I'm going to destroy it. He destroyed the whole world with the flood, but then also he burned up Sodom and Gomorrah. And these two characters brought together two different times in the Bible. I don't think that's by accident. And I think the reason why they're brought by character is because one shined as a light and did a few things. The other one chose to live amongst the people and not do these things. So I thought, and once again, I know it's not a full-length message, but there's some interesting thoughts here that I think could be developed and you could preach a couple sermons out of it. But I want you, let's go ahead and look into these again. Verse number 5, we'll start again. It says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. So we see that he was a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. So Sodom and Gomorrah, they're probably a separation of Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah is probably like 400 years. But two different things. God looked at things and said they needed to be destroyed. Verse number 7, delivered just Lot. Look, it says, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly out of how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So here's some thoughts. Noah, even though he was living in a day when the whole world was deemed worthy to destroy it, did not let the ungodliness, as it says in verse number 8, that Lot allowed to affect his heart. Vexed the righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds, he dwelling among them. Verse number 7, filthy conversation of the wicked. Here's two different things, two different thoughts, two different characters. Number one uses influence for God. One of these two guys uses influence for God. Noah, I don't know how much influence you say. Well, how much did he had? Only him and his wife and his kids and their wives got on the boat. Well, praise the Lord, they got on the boat, right? He had some influence. He used whatever influence he had. And you might say, Pastor, I don't have a lot of influence. You can reach your family. You can talk to people. There are certain people that you would be easier to reach than me. Certain people you have relationships with. Then you go over to Lot, and you see in the story of Lot, Lot had influence. Lot was a guy who had a family. We know at least two daughters and at least some son-in-laws. And we believe even more than that. We believe there was the two daughters that were home and the other ones that were son-in-laws and all those different things. He had that, but when the angels came up to the city, where was he sitting at? He was sitting in the gate. So not only did he have influence on his family, he had influence inside his community. See, Noah's over here. There's two guys. God brings them together saying, during a very, very wicked, desperate time of humanity, he says, there's one guy who stands out, uses the limited influence he has, and reaches his family. There's another man over here who, in his society, in his corner of the world, in the cities where he lived at, he let the filthy living, he let the filthy conversation, he let the lustful things, and they vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds, meaning that day by day he saw, and his soul was vexed by it, but he did not use the influence he had to make any change, to make any difference, to live as a light in the world. He just kind of went along with things. He just kind of did what made everybody feel like he was acceptable, because there's no way an outsider would have been able to become a judge at the city gate without having somebody say that he's acceptable. He went along with their sin. He went along with their unlawful deeds, their wicked needs, and all their nasty living. So one used their influence. And I believe that's what we're supposed to do. The day and time that we live in, it's unless the Lord comes, unless the Lord returns, unless there's a mighty moving, a revival, it seems as if things are getting darker and darker. Are we using our influence? You say, Pastor, I don't have much influence. Thankful for Noah, you know, he used the influence he had. Even though it might not have been a lot, he influenced his sons and also his daughter-in-laws and his wife. He said, well, his wife had to do it. I don't know. I know some wives that wouldn't got on their ark with their husband. Some wives would probably say, you didn't build that right. I don't even know what rain is. No, he saw it meant something to him, and he used his influence. You have another one who was accepted by society, lifted up to a position of prominence in society, had daughters and daughters that were married, and had his wife, and he was not able to use his influence to make a difference. Second thing, one instructed his family and the other didn't. One instructed his family and the other didn't. And I know this is a little bit of a rehashing the first one, but think about it. Noah's boys got on that ark. How many of us have our kids following after our faith? How many of us have kids that are following after our faith because they see that our faith was real to us? I know it's their decision. I know it's their choice. I know what people are going to say. Well, I can't force them. Can't force them. But I'm thankful that Noah faithfully taught. If Noah, you got to say something for somebody like Noah's sons that were willing to get on the ark. You got to say something for like Isaac, who was willing to lay down on the altar. You have to say some things for these young people who are following the faith of their fathers that was put before them. It's an encouragement. There was one who shined as a light. Not only did he shine a light in his community, not only was he a preacher of righteousness out to the whole ungodly world, he was someone who the sons and daughter-in-laws and the wife saw their faith, and they said, hey, that is a faith that is real. That is a faith that is true. I believe God spoke to him. Fast forward. You got Abraham. You got Lot. You got Lot in the city. He goes and he knocks on that door. And he tells them, got to get out of the city. God's going to destroy the city. What did he do? They mocked him. They laughed at him because God wasn't real. He didn't know that God was real to him. You think, boys, we're building an ark. Boys, we're getting on the ark. Okay. I need you to lead this city. Even if it's just for a day, God's going to destroy this city. We need to leave this city. Let's go. I'll take you wherever you need to go. We just need to go get out of here. Not going. The influence that was there. One taught his family. The other one didn't instruct his family. One showed that their faith was real. The other one couldn't even get him to get out of town, just even when they thought destruction was headed. The third thing I want you to think about. One interceded for others, the other didn't. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about interceding. That means praying. Where does Noah pray? I'm sure Noah is a man who walked with the Lord. Noah was a person who prayed. But what did Noah do when he got off the ark? He said in Genesis 8:20, and Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took every clean beast and of every fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. So he went and he prayed. He sacrificed. He interceded for his family. He interceded for the future family. He did what he was supposed to do. He brought sacrifice to the Lord. Lot saw this example in someone's life. If you go back and you read in the book of Genesis and you see every time Abraham stopped somewhere for an extended period of time, you know what he did? He built an altar. He built an altar. He built an altar. And we are so busy building our lives and building our reputations and building our influence and building this and building that, which I'm sure Lot was successful. Lot had a lot of things, and Lot was probably high up in that town and that city. And Lot spent his time building and building and building. But one thing he did not take time to do was to build an altar. He didn't spend time with his family. He didn't pray with his family. What can the righteous do? I truly believe the first and foremost, most important thing is that we learn to trust the Lord. The most dangerous thing that can happen in our Christian lives is if we walk away from Him. We don't listen for His voice. We don't follow His will. We don't pay attention to what God has taught us already. You say, oh, no, it's the fact that my child might get run over, or it's this or that. I understand there's physical dangers all around, but you've got a God that can deliver you from anything and all things. And David had a guy that was trying to kill him with a javelin, and God told him to stay for a little while. He says, I can't go. I'm trusting in the Lord. That's the most dangerous thing, because you have a deliverer in God. Let us take time to learn how to pray and seek God. It is what's going to make the difference in our lives. We have two characters, two people that God brings together here. In 2 Peter chapter number 2, talks about Noah, and then he talks about Lot. And in very, very wicked times and very, very wicked days, you see one who is there and is a preacher of righteousness, I'm sure mocked, I'm sure questioned, I'm sure that used his influence to reach his family. I believe he preached to a preacher of righteousness. He preached it to others too, but they chose not to believe. Say, well, it was Lot's fault for making the wrong decision about going to Sodom and Gomorrah and pointing his tent there. I understand all that. But we live in a day and a time that is very, very wicked. And you see a lot of wickedness around us. Are we going to be someone like Noah? Say, Pastor, nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wanted to hear Noah's day. Pastor, I'm not influencing that many. Out of those eight, you're a descendant of them. We're all descendants of them, right? I mean, you see the difference that was made. It made a difference. And then you see Lot. Abraham, when he was praying, interceding on the behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah, brought it all the way down to if there was 10 righteous people. 10 righteous people. And he brought it all the way. You think about it, if Lot had influenced his wife to become a believer, and then you got, I believe, a few daughters that were married and a few other daughters. You add that up to be eight people. If he would have just reached two other people outside of his family in all the years he was there, could he have maybe saved a nation? It's an interesting thought, at least. But if it was on our record and our track record and how many people we have reached, on how many people we have shined as a light in our community, would we own up to our families knowing Christ? And two others? have we won two people to Christ in our lifetime? I know it's an interesting thought, but if we're not even trying, are we acting more like Noah or reacting more like Lot? Pastor, you calling me Lot? I'm just saying that we use our influence. Noah didn't have much influence, but they got on the ark with him. Lot, his influence, Abraham brought it all the way down 10. If there's 10 righteous, God said, I won't destroy it for 10 righteous' sake. And Abraham had to be thinking, well, if you got Lot and you got Lot's wife and his daughters and son-in-laws, surely he's won at least a couple people. Surely he's done that. He could save a nation by doing that. You might say that's a little bit of a stretch, but at the same time, Lot chose not to use his influence. So reacting more like Noah or more like Lot? I think most of us, if we'll be honest, we were spending more time hiding our light under a bushel than living as a blameless and harmless sons of gods without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. No one lights a candle and puts it under the bed. So let me encourage you. Yes, things are getting dark. Yes, things are getting difficult. God brings these two people together and gives us an example of what two different individuals did during their time that they lived in a wicked time. One used his influence for God, the other didn't. One instructed his family, the other lost his family. One interceded for others, the other didn't pray. Don't spend so much time building your lives unless it begins with an altar. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for today. I'm thankful for your word. I pray in this short time, in this short challenge, that you will speak to our hearts about what the righteous can do. The righteous can trust, that's for sure. Not only can the righteous trust, they can also, Lord, they can live right. They can do right. The Bible talked about this morning, we saw how the righteous God loves righteousness and how he tries the hearts of men. And Lord, also we saw that we can pray. I pray when we think about this illustration of how Noah lived in a very dark time and how Lot lived in a very dark area. Both places you destroyed because of their sin and because of their wickedness. Both had opportunities to be saved and to save their families. Lord, we see Noah using his limited influence to reach his family and how you blessed it. Lord, help us to use our influence. Help us to instruct our families and help us to learn how to intercede and to pray. Lord, I think about Lot. He lost so much. I'm sure he thought in his best mind he was saving his family. He was helping his family by sending him to Sodom and Gomorrah. He was pleasing them. Obviously, his daughters had found men to marry, and he was influencing people and probably building relationships. But he did not use his influence for you. And God, he was not one who instructed his family in the ways of God. And even though he saw Abraham time and time and time again built an altar and continue to build the relationship with God, he chose not to. Lord, teach us. Teach us to use our influence, instruct our families, and learn how to intercede. In Jesus' name, amen.